إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أما بعد، a topic that is an integral part of this universe, a topic that every aspect of this universe needs, a topic that you can see through the creation of the sky and the earth. It took Allah 7 days when it could have took him one word. Allah ordered the creation of the sky and the earth within 7 days when it could have been one word, be, and it would have been done. If you grow anything, a tree, a fruit, a plant, it's going to take time for you to see the fruit. If your wife is pregnant, for a woman's pregnant, the baby doesn't just come in a matter of moments. It takes time. And that's the topic of patience. It's so important. Allah mentioned it in the Quran over 90 times. 90 times in the Quran. If you look through the verses, the first verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah talks about patience. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. All you who believe in Allah, gather your strength from being patient and prayer. Allah is with those who are patient. Don't say to those who are martyrs that they're dead. They're with Allah, living with Allah in a manner that Allah only knows best. Glory to those who are patient. Who are those who are patient? The next verse. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who, if you tell them there's a misery, there's an atrocity, there's a problem that happened to them, they say to Allah, we return, and to Allah is our resort. What's the reward, Ya Allah? The next verse. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. The reward, the prayer of Allah upon them, the mercy of Allah upon them. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. Not only that, and they're also guided. Who are these people? These are the people who are patient in this life. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Glory to those who are patient. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who are patient. Glory to those who are patient. Allah is with those who are patient. Words in the Quran that are not attributed to any other character other than patience. The verses in the Quran where Allah reprimanded Adam for not being patient in heaven. ولم نجد له عزما. He didn't have a strong will. He wasn't patient. Allah reprimanded him in the Quran. If you look at the secret of victory in the Quran, it's patience. How is it patience? The key to victory is patience. When Talut and Jalut, in the very long story of 500,000 fighting Jalut, the giants of their time, it's in Surah Al-Baqarah. The story is long. However, the summary and the key to their victory was patience. How? If you look at the verses of the story, قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. How many small groups win a large group or giant? Why, ya Allah, why? Wallahu ma'a as-sabirin. Allah is with those who are patient. It takes patience for 317 to fight the giants of their time and liberate Palestine. Patience with their iman liberated Palestine. Look at the next verse. Doesn't stop there. When they meet their enemy, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Oh Allah, give us patience. Shower us with patience. We need to be fulfilled with patience. What's the next verse? The 317. With patience. After patience, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They destroyed them by the will of Allah. The giant, when Allah describes them as giants, they're giants. 317 overpower them. Why? Because of their patience in iman. If you look at the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "As-sabru diya." Patience is brightness. How could patience be brightness? Patience is brightness in this life. Because a person with a problem, and all you know this, because we all go through problems, a problem in one's life makes this earth in front of him a black cloud. And this black cloud becomes brightness when you have the right patience that we're talking about over here. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, patience is brightness. Not only that, in the judgment day, patience is going to be brightness with your mountains of deeds just for being patient. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches an 11-year-old kid. He tells them, Ibn Abbas, victory comes with patience. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. If it wasn't any other, then Allah's name is the perfectionist in patience. As-sabur, that's enough to use this attribute of Allah upon ourselves. Because Allah has these attributes, and these attributes belong to Allah in a manner, we don't know how. We don't know how Allah's patience is. We know it has patience. And when you say Allah has patience, as-sabur, it adds honor to that character and attribute that we have amongst ourselves, although our patience is no way resembles Allah's patience by any means. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. If you look at the kinds of patience, there's three kinds. There's patience on the trials and tribulations in life. There's patience on the ordains of Allah. And there's patience to refrain from the sins. We take them one by one. The patience on the trials and tribulations in life. Life is full of problems. You have to understand this and know this. Because if you're not in a problem, you're waiting for a problem. That's life. That's the sunnah of Allah in this life. If you're not in a problem, you're waiting for. So if someone mocks someone for a problem, he's only waiting one. That's the sunnah of Allah. And elders with experience can tell you this. Life is not smooth. Life was not smooth to the messenger. It wasn't smooth for the true believers. If life was smooth, then this would be heaven. But it's not. So you have to have problems. How do we deal with the problems? Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about one who has a beloved one, who someone beloved to him died. One of the biggest problems. If it didn't happen, it's destined to happen. If someone's beloved one didn't die, it's either they're going to die and weep over it, or they're going to weep over it. It's going to happen. It has to happen in this life. How do you deal with it? You look to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first advice in one of his halaqat, teaching women of his time. What did he tell the woman? The woman said, give us, you know, you give the men all the days. Give us a day to teach us. The first day, he taught them, and the first thing he taught them, he said, whoever has three kids, and those three kids die, and she is patient, she has no reward but heaven. A woman said, what about two? He said, and two. She said, what about one? He said, and one. Allah, in the hadith, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tells the angel of death, in the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah tells the angel of death, did you take the soul of my servant's beloved one? I have a child, a brother, a relative, a father. Did you take the soul of that person's beloved one? The angel says, yes, I took it. He said, of course it's under the command of Allah, but it's something going to teach us over here. Did you take the fruit of the heart of the one my servant loves? Yes, we took it. The angel, the Allah asked the angel, what did that person say? What was the consequence of that person? How did he react? He said, Alhamdulillah, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah, to Allah we return, and to Allah we resort. A loved one, and you say these words, Allah tells the angels, build him a palace in heaven, call it Bayt al-Hamd. This palace, Bayt al-Hamd, a path, a misery in this life, could be a paved way for you in heaven. The young children of heaven, the young children in heaven, are allowed entry to heaven. They say, no, but there's something missing. Our parents. Parents could be doomed to hell for something, could be have a lot of sins. We want our parents. That little baby whom we wept and shed tears over, if we were truly patient, is a path to heaven. Allah says, enter heaven. The little child says, do what? My parents. Allah says, take the hands of your parents and enter heaven. A faith step. We have to change. Islam not only has to change us in the way we worship Allah, but it has to change us in the manners we react and look to things in life. We're not people of lithium and Prozac. We're people who turn to Allah in our miseries and atrocities. And what miseries do you have than an ummah that's being annihilated everywhere in this earth? The threats of the ummah for those Muslims who care about their brothers. Your brothers in Iraq are being threatened. Your brothers in Iraq are being threatened day and night. What's the reason behind it? They said, Rabbuna Allah. Allah is our Lord. Why? Why is that? Because we love them. We don't think about them. But, you know, what we can consolidate with each other and tell each other is be patient in these times of atrocities when we see the enemies threatening. They're not after Saddam. It's not after Saddam they're after. It's after the Muslims, the innocent Muslims of Iraq. Saddam is the one man. You can go take him. Leave the innocent Muslims. 6,000 kids die. What more patient do we need? Your brothers, your children in Iraq, 6,000 die every single month because of malnutrition. That shot that you take your kids for, that costs 50 cents, is the source that your brothers in Iraq die for, 6,000 every month. We need patience when we look at these miseries. We need patience when we see the bombarding, the annihilation of our brothers in Palestine. We need patience when we see the killing and massacres of our brothers and burning of our brothers in Kashmir. Patience is what we need. That's the first kind of patience. The second one is patience doing the commands of Allah. To pray, to wake up in Fajr. To do any command Allah ordered, you have to have patience by Allah. But before we talk about this, let us see why Allah sets out miseries and atrocities. Whether they may be international, on the international level, or whether they may be personal level. Why? Why does it happen to us? The first reason is that this is a source to show Allah your position that you deserve in heaven. Why? How? Allah knows. Where you belong before you were born. What position you know. What this position you belong in heaven. Allah knows it. But this is a method to prove yourself. Allah is just on the judgment day. Every single deed you did has to have a witness for it. The book, the angel, the ground you played on, the people who heard you. Everything has to have a witness. So, if we're all going to pray five times, if we're all going to pay zakat, if we're all going to pay hajj, and we're all doing the same thing, how is Allah going to divide the 100 ranks in heaven upon us? If there isn't tests and tribulations to see who those are patient to raise and boost their places in heaven. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Pull out the pure, the ones who are patient in times of tribulation.
ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب.
This ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين.
Allah is not going to leave the believers in the situation they're in.
Meaning, this is not going to leave everything going, floating in your direction.
Something got to happen.
Why, ya Allah? ليميز الخبيث من الطيب.
So we can distinguish the true one from the evil one.
The one who belongs in the position with the siddiqin up there,
and the one who belongs in the first level.
We have to know all that.
أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة.
Do you think you're unto heaven when Allah knows who those are patient are and those who are martyrs are?
You think you're going to enter heaven when you had a smooth life and you compare your life to one who has struggles for the sake of Allah,
or even regular struggles in life?
All that you get ajr for.
The second reason behind these trials and tribulations is to show you this is not your life.
If everything goes smooth, if you live in a country, you're a tourist, you stay there 10 days, and everything that goes smooth for you, you love that world, the part of it.
You always talk about the best days of my life, sir.
You don't think of leaving it.
It's the same with this life.
If everything goes smooth in this life, it's hard for you to depart it.
If everything goes smooth in this life, it's hard for you to think about heaven.
You will think, how could you think about heaven when everything is going smooth for you?
How could you?
It has to have problems to make you think about heaven.
You have to.
Third reason. So you can ask and beg and plead Allah to make you closer to Allah.
The best time, the most time.
Look at it. Think of it.
The most time people turn to Allah, when?
When everything's going good?
They don't even go by the masjid when everything's going good.
When they have problems, is then they pick up the phone,
well, the sheikh, I have a problem.
That's the only time they call the sheikh, when they have a problem.
When their family is dead, when they have a dead relative, his father's in front of him dead, his son is in front of him dead,
the heart is tied and needs something to grasp on.
And that's when their weak spot comes.
Allah uses this to take people back.
How many people do we know that became guided over the death of a relative one?
That changed their life.
How many? Hundreds.
You probably all know examples yourself of a misery that happened to someone and it changed their whole life.
These are among the reasons why Allah tests us.
Look at this example, and every time you face a trial and tribulation in this life, you gotta look at it. If someone takes you get up to pray, you put your backpack in the end of the masjid, and someone steals it, don't go shedding tears and crying.
If you leave the masjid, your window's broken, it's a problem.
You leave, someone hits you on the red light, it's a problem.
If you travel, if you're speeding, you get a ticket, it's a problem.
Some people, just a little problem like that, they weep and shed, and they probably can't sleep over the night, and they're depressed. Give you the example of one man, Ayub. 80 years of his life, he lived the most smoothest, best life anyone can live. 14 kids, a good life, happy with his wife, messenger of Allah, what more could you want? In a matter of days, it all changed. It flipped around.
How?
This messenger of Allah, Ayub, gets a disease. His skin changes. Not only that, 14 of his kids die one after the other.
Matter of days.
He handled it with iman and patience.
The verse we mentioned in the beginning of the khutbah,
with patience and prayer, he handled it.
His wife, make dua.
Let us, if he makes a dua, just raises his hand and says, ya Allah, Allah is going to respond.
Make dua.
No. How many years did we live, he tells his wife, in good, luxurious manner?
8 years.
She said, 8 years.
He said, when we live another 8 years in a misery, then I'll raise my hands to Allah and ask for a dua.
80 and 80.
The years went on where she had to work as a maid from the luxury she was in to the maid she's in.
Make dua, refuses until he reaches a point where she has to sell her hair.
They used it for the battlefields for some things that they needed.
She sold her hair to keep supporting that man.
That she is her messenger of Allah Ayyub.
That's when he raised his hand and he made dua.
Allah on the spot responded.
How many years of this misery that no one can handle?
Disease that left no one would talk to him.
No one would come near him.
No one would come near his town.
People were beginning to shun his wife, thinking she is contagious with that disease, and that disease is going to spread upon him.
Not only him, his wife too. 14 kids, not a single, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? Why myself? No! Patience! What happens? Rabbi inni massani al-dur wa anta one-liner dua. Rabbi inni massani al-dur. Oh Allah, a hardship befell upon me. And you're the all merciful, the graceful. What did Allah say? فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍ. We took that evil, that problem that happened to him out. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ. We gave him that which was there before and double. You know what that means? 14 kids. When his wife walked upon him after he was cured from the disease, she said, who are you? The disease covered his body so much, she didn't know who he was when she walked upon him. When he was cured, Allah gave him not 14 kids for being patient those 18 years, but 28 kids. أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعْهُمْ. Double that. رَحْمَةً مِنَّا. Mercy of Allah because of those 18 years of patience. One more story of Qais ibn Asim al-Munqari. Keep it between your eyes. These two stories. When you have a problem, laugh at them. Those small problems that we have, laugh them out. They're nothing compared to these stories that we have over here. This is the solution to your problem. When you have a problem, you turn to Allah. When you have a problem, you say, Alhamdulillah, 18 years with a skin disease and 14 kids. A speeding ticket, nothing, just a speeding ticket. You overlook it like nothing is going to happen. A car stolen, whatever it may be. You didn't get accepted to the university. You got fired from a job. All these are normal things when you compare it to 18 years. Look at this man, Qais ibn Asim al-Munqari. Qais ibn Asim had a disease. It was spreading in his foot. And he's a tabi'i. They said, we got to cut your foot. He said, no. Your knee, no. It moved up. The disease, he said, if we don't cut it now, you're going to die. He said, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Go ahead. He said, here's alcohol. They have no medicine to cure him. So they said, here's alcohol for you. He said, alcohol? He has excuse. Islam gives him excuse. He's in a hardship. He has to... They said, Allah prohibited something. And Allah gave me a mind. And I use that to take away my mind? No. Wait till I pray two rak'ahs. When I'm in the rak'ah, that you feel me floating with Allah's verses, His mind, His power, is not in this world. It's in the heaven, in hell, in the gardens of heaven, in the luxuries of the life after, laughing with the good pleasures of heaven, crying with the stories of hell. What does He say? When you feel me floating with those verses, cut my leg off. He cut it off when he was praying. He tapped up. Not a single moan when they were cutting it. He didn't feel it. His mind wasn't there. His mind was with Allah. He didn't feel it. But he passes out from the blood. When he wakes up, in the coma he was in, his son died. Listen to this. And keep it in your mind. And teach it to your kids and to your brothers. When there's a time of a hardship. He wakes up. He says, may Allah give you better than what He took from you. He said, what? What did Allah say? He said, your leg. He said, my leg? What else? He said, your son. He had a son, four sons. One of them died in his coma. He didn't add. The narrator of the hadith said, he didn't add more than say, Alhamdulillah, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And you know what he said? He said, give me my leg. He looked at his leg, and you know, this is stunning what he did. He looked at his leg, and he kissed it. That's not the stunning part. The stunning part is he said, wallahi, I never used this leg to walk for a sin ever. How many of us could say that? How many of us could say that? Wallahi, I never used that hand. Wallahi, I never used that leg to walk to a sin ever. Wallahi, this story melts a heart if it was a heart of a rock. I never used this leg. Wallahi, how many of us could say that today? And then he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me four body parts. Look at the patience in this man. Allah gave me four body parts. He took one. I got three left. Allah's been generous to me. Look how generous. I got three. I got one hand left. I got two hands left. And one leg. Allah been generous. I got one kid that Allah took his life. I have four kids. Allah been so generous to me. He left me with three kids. Allahu Akbar. This is the patience. This is the patience that Allah says, glory. وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Patience to carry out the commands of Allah. patient to come to this masjid in Fajr, when you're the neighbor of the masjid. Patience to wake up, to pray the salah in the beginning time of the salah, to carry out the commands of Allah. What is that? You look at it and say, oh man, that's hard. How can I wake up to Fajr? How can I pray on time? How can I not deal in usury? It's hard. Put before your eyes the example of Ibrahim. Allah doesn't tell him, wake up by 5:30. Allah tells him, it's your son whose neck gotta be cut. Which is easier? Pray 5 minutes. That takes 5 minutes. Little things that Allah asks. Or imagine Allah asking you to sacrifice your son. What does Ibrahim say? Not me. Why me? Why my son? I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna pray. I'm not gonna fast. I'm gonna deal in usury. No. What does he say? He takes his son and puts him on a table and wants to cut his neck off. An example of a pious, patient family. How? How? His son tells him, when you cut my neck, father, don't look at me. Because if you look at me, you may be merciful towards me and you won't do that which Allah ordered you. Patience. Patience is what causes them to do this. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَسَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينِ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We called him, Ya Ibrahim. You believe that dream? Allah relieved him. But imagine that. Put yourself in a setting like that. Now, the prayer on time. Now that Allah tells you, sacrifice your beloved child. Which is more. Compare the baby. Command baby. Allah gives us so much and has so little to be patient with. And we refuse to do that. Imagine it was your son that Allah ordered you to sacrifice. The third one, the first one of patience is trials and tribulations we mentioned. The second one is patience over carrying out the commands of Allah. The third one is patience to stay away from the sins that Allah ordered you to stay away from. And I give you one example of Yusuf alayhi salam, because probably the hardest thing on the young of this ummah is dealing with women. And probably women dealing with men. Probably the hardest thing. A lot of the Muslims today, alcohol is not a problem to them. Like one of the Sahabi said, you know, he told the Prophet, he was truthful. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, if you put me alone with a woman who has no hands and no legs, I'm going to commit the sin. No, he said that to the Prophet Muhammad. He was sincere. And this is a problem we have in our ummah today. How do we deal with it? Put yourself in the position of Yusuf. Now, you're approaching a woman for a haram. A woman approaching you. Who are you? You're a messenger? No. You're the most and best looking probably creation of this earth. You're alone with her. Who's the woman? The wife of the leader of this time. The wife asks you to commit adultery. Who is that man? Her slave. He could get freedom. He could get luxury. He could get spare time. He could get all that. Not only that, the women of the town and in their entirety are after him. They want him. What does this pious man do? Fall for the sins. Patience. Ma'ad Allah. No way. No way. Then he says, Rabbi Sijnu Ahabbu Ilay. Imagine that. Allah, I'd rather you put me in prison with the criminals, with the scum of the earth, than in the palace with the best looking woman of the time, the wife of the leader of the time. Rabbi, Rabbi Sijn. The jail is better for me than that which they call me for. These are the trials and tribulations in this life that we have to realize and we have to be patient. And I'm أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. أما بعد, the peak of trials and tribulation is that, you know, we have a child, that died. Everyone could have a child who died. Nothing special about it. Kafir, Jew, atheist, Hindu, they got children, die. We all have problems. They go to church, we probably go to the masjid. They be patient on Sunday morning, we be patient and pray. There's one aspect of patience, and it's the peak of aspect. It's Jannah. The reward of it is Jannah. It's special. It's special for you. What's that aspect? Patience. For trials and tribulations that happen to you because of your iman, because of your Islam. The Prophet passes by Yasir, the family of Ali Yasir. He sees the mother in pain under the whips of Abu Jahl.
Next to her is her son. Next to her, tied to a post, is her husband. And what does he tell them? And when she stabs, he passes by her, stabbed by Abu Jahl, may Allah curse him, in her private part, he says, Sabran ala Yasir, patience ala Yasir. Inna mawa'idakum al-jannah. What you're going through because of La ilaha illallah, your appointment is the gardens of heaven. Heaven is your resort. That's where you belong. Musa alayhi salam. This doesn't mean you get killed for the sake of Allah. Being mad because you're Muslim is this category. Reaches you inshaAllah heaven. Being degraded because of your religion is a cause for you to enter heaven. Sticking up for your brothers who are oppressed in Iraq and Afghanistan and supporting them in Kashmir at a time when the cowards refuse to talk is a cause for you to enter heaven, because it's only the heroes who take the burden of that upon themselves. Musa alayhi salam gives da'wah one after the other, so his da'wah becomes popular. What are they going to do to them? What are they going to do to Musa? They can't kill him. He's got power behind him now. He's got people behind him. What do? They use the tactic the infidels always use. Defame the character. Character assassination. They stick a charge or two to them to defame the character. Why? Why did they do that to Musa? Because when they know Musa has no character, what do to him? He's no got no one to listen to. Qarun says, I got the plan. What's the plan, Qarun? Qarun says, my plan is I paid a prostitute who just got a baby to say that baby is of whose? Whose? They fabricate. Don't believe the lies, yeah. They fabricate. There's always a Fir'aun. Every century, every time, every decade, we have Fir'aun who talk about the people. They got no food. They don't have food in Iraq. They say they got no clear bite. They don't got food. Our brothers are dying from Iraq. What did they say to Musa? He walks in on Fir'aun. He said, Fir'aun, are you going to believe with the one and only one Lord? And all of a sudden, a prostitute starts yelling in the background. This is the man! What man? He's the one who fathered this child. What is the da'iyah going to do there? Allah, a fabrication. He raises his finger to Allah, this patient man. Doesn't go hysterical. Allah, the only one. Oh Allah, the only one. Aid me in this manner. I ask you by Allah. He points to, I ask you by Allah, the one who gave me the miracles you know of. Did I father that child? She says, no. Easy. Allah solved the problem right there and then. But this always going on. Aisha, radiallahu anha, your mother, gets attacked in her character. Why? They want to defame the Prophet. If he has no honor, his wife is playing behind his back, he's got no character. Character assassination. You got to be patient in these kinds of trials and tribulations. Aisha, radiallahu anha, what does she do? 30 days under the agony that the whole people of her time are thinking she committed adultery. The vast majority of them thinking in the Prophet, the patient man. Patient, making dua, humble to Allah, asking and pleading with Allah. This is the path of Islam. This is the path of La ilaha illallah. This is the path that Zakaria's neck was cut for. This is the path that Yahya was split in half for. Yahya. This is the path that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a time a wanted man. This is the path that Uthman falls dead in his own blood. This is the path Ahmad ibn Hanbal sends a large portion of his life in prison. This is the path Ibn Taymiyyah died in prison. This is the path the great heroes of the world ask for, because this is the path of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what you were created and brought onto this earth for. You know, I tell you this, if you're a Muslim and you don't have problems, double check your faith. Wallah, this is not my word. This is the word of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the meanings of his hadith. And this is the word of the scholars after him. How? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the worst punished are the messengers of Allah. Then who? Who? The kafir? The ones who try to kill us and annihilate us? No. And then the one who imitate them and imitate them. Step by step. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ. You say why? Is Allah oppressive? مَعَذَ اللَّهِ. Allah's not oppressive. But when the kafir failed the first test, there's no need for any more test. He's doomed. Why test him anymore?
When the Muslim got the first test, he passed the first stage, you gotta go to the second stage. First semester, second semester, third semester, first grade, second grade. If you failed in first grade, one time, two times, you're out. Why would we need to test you again? You're a failure. This is the justice of Allah. This is the justice of Allah. This is the path of the messengers of Allah. And this is something you gotta be patient for. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشرة اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصديقين علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم منصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم ارفع الجهاد وانصر المجاهد اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه معرفتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر. I leave you with one last story and I leave it to the end so it can settle in your mind. It is a story narrated by Ibn Hibban in a book called As-Siqat, authentic story, where a young soldier leaves Palestine to go back to the outskirts where his family is. One of the journeys, he sees a tent. And in the tent is someone saying, Oh Allah, give me the power to thank you for all that you've given me. Oh Allah, I thank you for making me better than a large portion of the people. Look at what the dua is. I ask you Allah to give me the power to thank you. And I ask you Allah, and I thank you Allah for all that which you've given me which makes me better than a large part of the people. He said, I went to the tent to see who's saying it. An old man, the only thing working on that old man is his son. In the hadith, it's unknown whether his body parts are cut or he's paralyzed. The only thing in this old man working is his son. Imagine that. The young man, Abdullah ibn Muhammad, the narrator of the story, says, Oh uncle, what is there that Allah made you better than all people? Imagine that, you know? We say, what did Allah give me? Well, I talk to some people, what did Allah give me? Okay, give us one of your eyes. And then say what Allah gave you. Just give us one. And then we'll say Allah deprived you. You got people, they got income. Not alone the income, their physical features. An eye, a face, a mouth, a hand. Healthy. And they say, what did Allah give you? She's ignorant. Look what Abdullah ibn Muhammad said. What did this man have? He didn't understand. He was a young boy, a young teenager. What does this man have? He says, Allah gave me a tongue to thank him with it. What more do I need? Allahu Akbar. A tongue to thank him with. What more do I need? And he said, now, I answered your question. Could you go and do a favor for me? What is it? This is not a movie or fabricated or weak hadith. This is in Ibn Hibban and As-Siqat. Wallah, it was authenticated by the most strict scholars of our time who checked the narrations of the hadith. He went and he said, my son, who makes wudu for me, helps me in my wudu, and helps me drink and eat, I left 3 days ago, and I'm here stranded. Could you go look for him? He went. He looked for him. He found his bone. The praise had eaten him in the desert. And he found his camel. He brought his camel, brought it back. How's he going to tell this old man this whole story? The only thing he has in life is this son. And the son died. He said, I sat, and I remembered the story of Ayyub. The story I mentioned to you. So I started telling him. The old man said, cut your story short. What's the problem? Tell me what the problem is. He said, your son is sick. He said, he didn't say more than, Alhamdulillah, inna lillah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah, to Allah we return, to Allah is our resource. He said, and soon after that, he passed out and died. I had a problem. If I leave him, the animal's going to eat him. And I couldn't leave him and go. Wouldn't be right. So I sat there crying. What am I going to do with him? I can't dig a grave alone. And so 4 people passed by. And they said, he told them, come and help me bury him. They said, okay, who is he? They uncovered his face. And they jumped at him, kissing him. They said, you don't know who this man is? This is Abdullah ibn Zayd, Abu Qulab al-Jurmi,
the biggest student of Ibn Abbas. He loved knowledge and he loved Islam. And he fought in battles and committed his life for the sake of Allah. This is him. And they began crying and kissing him. They buried him. He couldn't get this story out of his mind. That young boy, Abdullah ibn Muhammad, couldn't get this story out of his mind. When you're thinking about something all day, you're going to dream about it. And the dreams of the pure, innocent people are nearly always true. Actually, it's a sign of a true man when he dreams at night, has a dream, and in the morning it becomes just how he dreamt it. He said, I had a dream about this man, and I seen him. And I said, he was in heaven. I said, you're the man who was my friend last night. He said, yes. I said, what did Allah do to you? He said, peace be upon you. Enter heaven as you were patient. Salamun alaykum. Udkhulu al-jannata bima sabartum. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ وَأَقِمُ الصَّلَاةِ